You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stands by stands. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Augie. All right, guys, so we are back with episode 29. This week we have our stan story segment is back. That's where we talk to people from different fandoms about their experiences, and we have a very special unstanning story this week, so we're really excited for you guys to hear it.
Make sure you use the hashtag FOAFpod when you're tweeting about the show, because as always, we would like to talk to you guys and see what you're thinking as you're listening. So
yes,
yeah,
yes.
Do that.
Now let's get into it. All right, guys, so to start off this episode, we are going to do a special edition of Stan Stories. This time we have a very special fan. You may have seen a thread that went viral this past week from a Kendall Jenner update account, and it was titled Why We Decided to Unstan. And it kind of like shocked a bunch of people both within the fandom world and outside, because we rarely see update accounts and stans talking about completely ditching their problematic fave. And this account had about like 30,000 followers, so it was kind of a big deal. So here to talk to us is one of the owners of the account, Mila. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. All right. Can you talk to us a little bit about when you first started stanning Kendall? Like, what drew you to her in the beginning?
Well, when she started doing Fashion Week, like in 2014, I guess, was when I started like keeping up with her. You know, I've never took anything stan Twitter too seriously. You know, when I started liking Kendall, it was more like because of her style. I really like fashion and everything. So I used it to keep up with her Instagram. And that's it. You know, it wasn't like, oh, my God, she's my idol and I love her. You know, nothing like that. But when we decided to create the account, it was just like because we were bored, I guess. And we were friends. I created a Twitter because I don't know, I like it to have my space, you know, away from my life. And then I met these girls and we started a friendship and we had this thing in common that we really liked Kendall. And then we decided to start the account. And it got really big. Like in last year, she started following us on Twitter and that was when we like, oh my God, we can't stop now. We need to carry on with this. And then her hairstylist, her team started following us and keeping up with us, you know, and then we were like, this is like, we're getting attention. And, but she was changing during the year, especially like last year, because she, I don't know if you guys keep up with her, I don't know, but like in 2014 when she began her career and everything, she used it to actually go to Fashion Week, you know, and that's like when we really liked it because I love it to see her in the shows and everything. And then it just, she stopped it like last year, you know, she was wasn't doing anything, and then we were like, why are we standing her again?
So when you guys were running the account, what kind of things did you guys post? Was it just like daily updates like we see for like music artists, or was it just her like spreads and magazines, things like that? What did you guys post?
We use it to post everything, actually. Like it was a daily update about everything. And like when she was with, even when she was with her friends, like we were posting it, and I think that's what got us really tired, you know, because before, like in 2015, we used it to post more about her work, you know, when she was working, and then we were just posting her with her friends and partying and everything, and we were like,
yeah, she's not working.
That's not cool.
That's really
she's
interesting.
She's not doing what she's supposed to do, you know?
That's really interesting. So basically the base for you guys really truly was like the modeling, the fashion, like that aspect of her
definitely.
Career. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so now we're going to get into the thread, the unstained thread. So I saw it and I was like, oh my God, what is this? First of all. But yeah, I mean, like what was going through y'all's mind when y'all were leading up to that? Like what made you guys write out the thread instead of just saying, oh, well, we're just going to become inactive, you know?
We actually talked to her before we deactivated the account. We sent her a DM and she replied. She was like, yeah, take care of yourself and everything. We told her that we were really busy with our personal lives, you know? And that was what we said. But, like, about the thread, we always felt like we needed to speak about this, you know, the things that she was doing, like the Pepsi thing. And since she was following us, we never spoke about it, you know, because if we were like, she's going to follow us, she's going to hate us. But like on our personal account, we were like, you need to speak about it. You need to apologize. Mm-hmm. And she was just ignoring everything.
So,
you know, the background.
Yeah. So some of the things you guys mentioned, like the Pepsi commercial that was in the thread, the fact that she never apologized for it or, you know, thought that people would forget. Mm-hmm. There were several posts in the thread where, you know, addressing her cultural appropriation, like wearing a burqa as a disguise, and then, you know, just the different things that she would do in that sense. So, like, leading up to this, like, were you guys seeing these things and just disappointed each time and it just bubbled up to this? Or so you saw that this was a problem as it was happening?
We knew it was a problem. But, like, as I said, we were giving her a pass, you know? Like, we were thinking she's gonna learn in the future, she's gonna, you know, stop doing this. You know, she never apologized, you know? She never apologized for anything, for any of this. We were just tired, you know, of expecting more, and she was never doing anything.
I mean, that's understandable, though, because I used to be a Chris Brown fan, so, like, I get it completely. But, you know, I think everybody just gets to a point when they have a problematic fave when they're just kind of like, I've had enough, you know?
Yeah. Like, we don't hate her at all, you know? Personally, I still like her. I think she's cool. But, like, I don't know if you guys saw any of her interviews, but she was always like, I'm not like my sisters, I'm different, and I like to work for my money, but like, we don't see that, you know?
So back to the thread, were you guys like surprised by how many people like saw it and all the reactions and things like that?
Not me. I wasn't surprised when I saw a lot of people like happy with it, because I know they hate her. But like, as I said, we don't take Twitter too seriously. So when we posted it, it was just like to mess around, you know? We don't really give a fuck about it.
I mean, I'm looking at it right now and it has like 14,000 retweets and 29,000 likes.
Really?
Right,
it's pretty crazy. And like, it was something that I noticed was that, you know, we have our fan of a fan podcast, like show Twitter, where we follow different stands from different accounts. So, you know, I'm not surprised to see it on there. But I saw it reaching my personal timeline. Like, people who aren't in the fandom universe typically saw this and they were like, first of all, like, props to you for realizing there was a problem and now stepping out of it. But, like, also people were just, like, shocked, you know? And also, like, it wasn't even just that, like, it was a fan deciding to unstan. You guys have an update account and used that big platform that you have, you know, over 30,000 followers.
Follow.
You know?
We had her follow. Yeah.
Did she, do you know if she unfollowed?
She blocked us.
Oh my
god! Oh,
blocked. Yeah.
Shit.
She. I don't know if you saw her Twitter, but she liked something indirecting us. And then when we were posting on the thread, she started replying to her fans, and she blocked us, and it was like, shout out to the real ones, and shit like
that.
Oh my goodness! You know? But we know she like, she really liked our account. Like, I know that because we were the only updated account she followed. Mm. And she was always, like, she used to reply to our DMs. Not always, but, like, she used it to reply. And I know she liked the account. But, like, I'm not the type of person who's just going to be, like, oh, just because she follows me, because she notices me, I'm going to be out of her ass, you know? I'm not like that. I saw this. We saw that something was wrong. She was doing something wrong. And she just does not represent what we stand for. We don't like shit like that. Like what she did with the t-shirt. If she actually was working, you know, if she saw what the designers did, and that was her name, and she approved it.
And you're like, talking about the shirts that put Kendall and Kylie's faces on with Biggie and Tupac. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Like, who does that? Like, if he was me, it's my fucking name. How am I going to say yes to shit like that, you know?
I feel that. So, question. You said there were 5 people running this account, correct?
Yes.
So, were you all in agreement that these were problematic things and you needed to do this? Or, you know, was there someone maybe who still, because, like, obviously she still has a pretty dedicated fan base that thinks you guys are wrong. So within your update account, like, were you guys all in agreement on this, or was there some kind of breakdown at all?
I wasn't home when they were doing all this shit. So when I got home and I saw the Twitter, I was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? And they were like, it needs to be done. And okay. And then when I saw, like, everything, they explained it to me, and I was like, yeah, someone needs to call her out.
Before the thread, there was a tweet that said, like, hours spent updating, time zone trouble, staying up all night for what? Do you, like, so that's what you guys went through to, like, keep this account running. Like, do you regret spending that time doing all of that?
No, because I did it with my best friends. I've never thought that I would meet these girls and become friends with girls that I've never seen in my life. And then when we were doing it, like, the account and updating, it was really fun because we liked her, you know, so I don't feel like it was a waste of time. We don't regret it, really. Like, they were wake up really early to update a fashion show she was walking for, you know, Paris or something. But yeah, it was a lot of work because she's everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
We were always posting.
So wait, so can you tell us, like, where are the other people that run the account? I'm assuming you guys are, like, all over the world?
Yeah, I'm from Brazil, and we had someone from Chile and someone from Costa Rica, Italy, and US.
That's amazing. So you cover all the time zones, basically. You have, like, most of them, at least, the ones that matter. That's awesome.
Yeah, people were always asking, like, you guys don't sleep, don't have a sleep? And I was like,
nope.
No, we
technically
do, but, like, there's a bunch of people here. So.
Yeah, I feel like people don't realize that about update accounts. It's usually, like, teams of people.
Yeah, they think it's just one person.
Nope.
Kendall was to think it was just one person. we had to tell her, like, no, there's a bunch of people here. We don't leave for you.
That's funny.
So what will y'all do with the account now that it's all said and done?
I want to deactivate the account, but the girls just want to leave it there. I told them it's like 3 against 1 because I want to get rid of it. I feel like it's a phase and I want to leave it behind, but I don't know. We had an Instagram and we have a lot of followers and a lot of people from her team used to follow us. They still do. I think they're going to follow because we won't get rid of that account. We're going to still use it, but for something else, you know, because there's too many followers for us to just deactivate. And the Twitter account is just going to stay there or we're going to deactivate. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Instagram account right now. Y'all have 119,000 followers.
Yeah. Wow. We had 120. I don't know. We're losing followers. I don't remember. It's been a... I'm going to see the Twitter account right now because it said there's a lot of retweets, and it's been days since I've seen it.
Yeah, so. No, mm-hmm. I can't imagine what's in those mentions.
yeah.
So another thing we wanted to talk a little bit about, the last tweet on the account, the Twitter account, it says, to the Liam Tomlinson stands in our mentions, we are sorry, and we hope one day you see the light too. Best luck, heart emoji. So just, not even shade, it's just straight up like, you know, we're going to tell y'all how it is. Talk a little bit about that. What do you want to say to, like, people who are still sticking with, like, problematic faves?
I think that you can stand whoever you want to stand, but, like, you can't be up their ass, you know? You have to call them out because they're only there because of you and their fan base, you know? You're the people that support them. And if you keep, like, agreeing with the things they do that are wrong, then you're fucked up too, you know? You have to see what's wrong and what's right. You can't just be like, oh my god, it's my fave and I'm gonna defend them. No, I mean, I still like Kendall, but she's not stan worthy. She's not someone that I'm gonna be like, fight for her. We felt like we were defending her when we were still posting on the account. We were like ignoring what was wrong. So now we're just like feeling better because we hope she gets better and she realizes that she can, you know, she has a really huge platform and she can, you know, do something with it and not just stand there and do nothing.
Man, we so appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, Mila. Thank you so, so much. So again, the Twitter account, the update account obviously is now not being updated anymore. You said you still have the Instagram account. Did you want to shout out any of your personal accounts or did you want to shout out that Instagram again so maybe people can follow it when you guys start something new?
No, just our Instagram. We don't have a new name right now. It's just knj.daily. And we're going to keep up with this, you know. The Twitter account is dead. We won't use it anymore. And our personal, we won't share because we don't have it. Like, yeah, that's it. We're just going to stay with the Instagram, and that's it.
Awesome. And one last question. Do you see yourself standing for anyone else or like creating an update account for anyone else going forward?
Honestly, I stopped this stan life years ago, like when I was a Nick Jonas fan.
Wow.
You know, like I still like him, but like I feel like I'm too old to be on Twitter, and nothing wrong with it. I mean, if you want it, I know that people like it, but I'm really busy with my life, so I don't feel like after everything that happened, don't think I would stand for anyone.
I don't blame you. This was a lot, and it put you through it, so I don't blame you. But yeah, thank you so much again. We really appreciate you, Mila. And
thank you.
All right. So, guys.
Wow. I don't know what that was.
Okay. So, we're going to get into our flops and faves. Mm-hmm. If this is your first time listening, that is our favorite thing of the week and our least favorite thing of the week. And as always, I'm going to let you go first.
Hey. Okay. So, my fave, like, the joy it brings me has been unmatched. I've listened to this song, like, on repeat for days. So Anderson .Paak, on his most recent album, Malibu, he has a song called Come Down. Mm-hmm. The song is great. It's fine. But the remix, The Remix is why I'm here. The Remix features Ty Dolla Sign, my baby zaddy, and Schoolboy Q. And this song, that's my it's baby just daddy. Like, ooh, okay.
I love Schoolboy.
But like, it's awkward because Anderson .Paak is also my baby daddy, so like, it's a lot. But I love this song so much. It just the production. I mean, most of the production on Anderson's songs like take me back to when I played drums because like it's just heavy on the like real instruments and like not to be the person who preaches like real instruments are the way to go, but it is really refreshing to like listen to, you know, actual drums and stuff and not machines.
Yeah.
So, but specifically what I love about this song is Ty Dolla Sign's part. He has a section where he says, this is going to be so embarrassing, but like he has a section where he says, don't I make it look good? And like the way he says the word good,
good.
It's like G-E-W-D. It
good.
Like, it's. It just takes me to a place that probably is really inappropriate to talk about out loud. But it's great. I, like, love that song so much. I love Anderson. I love Ty. So that's my fave of the week. You guys should listen to it. My flop of the week, I'm going to save till a little bit later because we have a joint flop of the week. So why don't you tell us your fave of the week first?
Okay. I did go listen to that song, by the way, when you tweeted about it, and I love that part that you're talking about. But yeah, so my fave is a song as well from Jay-Z's 13th studio album.
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but Jay-Z is my favorite rapper and has been since, I mean, I started listening to rap music, I guess. Mm-hmm. But
KZ, yes.
So you know this. So you know this new album has had me very hype since it dropped. But I think my favorite right now on the album is Family Feud,
Yes.
That is the one with Beyonce and also the Clark sisters. It's a sample of a song called Haya, and it's so like the production, like shout out to No ID.
It's so good.
It's so good. Like beyond Jay-Z, like when you think about when you hear Beyonce harmonizing with the Clark sisters on that song and sounding like she was in the booth with them at the time that they recorded that song is fucking crazy. Like, and then you listen to her and she sings, literally hearing her sing the word amen just put goosebumps on my arms. Like I literally just wanted to drive to a church and start praying because I mean it was just amazing. And I really love, you know, Jay-Z in the song as well, but shout out to Beyonce and the Clark sisters because I really love that song for their parts. And also a side note kind of fave thingy, there was a video of the Clark, two of the Clark sisters listening to the sample in the car or whatever, and it was so cute because they were playing the clean version because, you know, they are gospel singers and they are pastors and things like that. But I just love how they were vibing out to the song. I'm just gonna try to find the video and put it in the description box. But yeah, I really enjoy Family Feud and the Clark sisters. I love their music. I really love gospel music, so
that was like right up
top
your
of the list. Yes, definitely Beyonce, Jay-Z, and the Clark sisters. I mean, what more can I ask for?
I agree, though. Like, No ID really did his thing. Like,
did
with the
that,
production,
like
there, like it's not even like, oh, that's a good beat. It's like,
yeah,
there are sounds and like ways he's layered vocals, or you know, just the way he's like distorted different sounds that don't even sound natural. It's like, I've never heard anything like this before. Like,
and the way he uses a sample is crazy.
Yeah.
Next level. Like, I really love, I usually love Drake's production with 40 and how he uses a sample. He uses a sample really well as well. But man, No ID, he's like, he's a veteran in the game. I mean, we all know that. But like, he's really good at using a sample. I mean, you go back through the album, you have there's a Stevie Wonder sample, there's a Sister Nancy sample, there's a Clark Sisters. There's all these really great samples in the album. So Family Feud is my fave, but go listen to the full album. If not for Jay-Z's lyrics, if you hate him after listening to 444, the song, just go listen to the actual just production. So good.
And like,
so yeah, that's my fave.
We can't talk about 444 and not mention the best part of it, which was Queen Blue Ivy.
Boom shakalaka. And her boom freestyle.
Everything is shaka. Shout out to Blue. Every time she hops on a track, it just gets infinitely better. So shout out to Blue.
Ever since Glory, I'm telling you, ever since Glory. I mean, she does this. She knows how to ride a beat at this point. She's five.
She's never seen a ceiling in her whole life.
Like, that is amazing. Yeah. That is amazing. It's great. She's a legend. But yeah, that's my fave, Family Feud. Shout out to Blue Ivy because we love her.
Yes. We are definitely in the Ivy League, by the way.
Yes, we are. Yes.
So, yes, joint flop this week.
Joint flop.
Rob Kardashian. Wow, we really came full circle with this episode and that family. Rob Kardashian, in case you missed it, last week he got on Instagram, posted a bunch of pictures of Blac Chyna, like naked pictures of her on Instagram, as well as like screenshots of texts with men that she's allegedly cheating on him with, and basically like was quote unquote trying to expose her and try to make her look like a bad mother. But like in the meantime is breaking all kinds of revenge porn laws and is really not making a case for like being a good dad. So he gets my flop of the week because I don't like, he just is not going about this the way he should be at all. And it was actually embarrassing.
He's my flop because of all of that. And just plus the fact that he's trying to make it seem like it was all Chyna's fault, you know, like, oh, you know, she just played me. But honestly, like, I get everybody making the finesse jokes and stuff like that. But honestly, these two people teamed up because they both hated the Kardashian family the same at the time. And they wanted to get back at them, you know. You look at Rob's dating history, Chyna is not his type at all. He got with her because his family hated her and she hated his family and he hated his family, and it was revenge, and then a child came from it, and that was irresponsible on both of their parts. You know, I don't think Chyna is innocent at all when it comes to the whole situation,
right?
But I just don't like that he's, you know, trying to make it out like, you know, he was just so oblivious to everything and she's just a horrible mom. I mean, he gets on Instagram and he does these things, and then 2 hours later he's like, I'm sorry, she's an amazing mom,
right,
and things like that. And it's just like, it's so stupid, and both of them need like real professional help at this point.
So for context, this did happen like in this has happened before. It happened back in December.
Yeah.
They're no strangers to airing out their crazy shit on social media.
Instagram,
The Kardashians in general are not, you know, they don't shy away from stuff like this, but like
at all.
Rob and Chyna, though, like it has been like a very specific kind of toxicity that like has been really sad to watch like play out.
And the fact that there's a baby involved, it just makes it worse. Rob gets my flop, tiny flop to Chyna too, because it's like it's all really unnecessary, but specifically Rob because he's a dick,
right?
But
the thing is though, the reason why I think this time is going to be a little bit different, I don't know if I'm being naive, is because Chyna has lawyered up. I think they are trying to get a restraining order against Rob. And again, like, people are speculating about him breaking revenge porn laws by posting photos, naked photos of Chyna on both Instagram and Twitter. I think his Instagram might have gotten locked down and then he moved to Twitter where he posted all the same shit over there. So it's not looking good for Rob right now. I don't know that it'll look that great for Chyna if like they try to come at her now for whatever, but it's just, it is really sad, and I hope that like they are able to work things out, if only for a dream, because I'm really scared for this generation of like the Kardashian kids, like North, Penelope, all the babies right now, like
even Lil King,
all of them.
Yeah.
Like, it just,
all them little babies that be in Chris's house. Yep. All of them. I'm going to pray for all of them, especially the ones that are brown.
Yeah.
So,
true. So that is our joint flop. And we are done talking about the Kardashian-Jenners for a minute, I think. This show took a surprising turn, but I'm glad we are where we are.
I think that's the most we've talked about. I've talked about them.
Like ever. Yeah.
In one sitting, ever. Yes.
Me too.
So yeah, thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you guys for listening.
Make sure you follow our good friend Dion. She makes the music in the beginning and the end of every episode. You can follow her on Twitter and SoundCloud and Instagram and all the other things at Your Girl DJ Magic. And her name will also be in the description box. So make sure you give her a follow and go listen to all of her songs and mixes and all of that.
And if you're in Atlanta and need a DJ this summer, hire her. Why not? You can
give
say
her
that
some shmoney.
Yeah. And in addition to following her, you can also follow the show at The Fan Podcast. We are currently on Twitter and Tumblr. And if you'd like to follow Kayla and I on the Twitters, you can find our handles in the description box of this podcast, as well as anywhere online. If you search our names, I'm sure you can find us. So thanks again for listening. And rate us on iTunes,
leave us a review.
It's not called iTunes anymore, actually.
It's called Apple
Podcasts. So if you guys want to rate us on Apple Podcasts or Google Play, leave us a nice note so that these gigantic companies know that people like us. That'd be awesome. Thanks for listening.
Bye. That was so off key.
Oh, before we go, I think we should play out on some classic Blue Ivy.
Everything is shaka.
Everything is
fuck.
Boom shaka laka.
Boom shaka laka.
Jay-Z, please don't sue us.